our Hollywood guru, joining us on the hotline. Michael, as always, we appreciate you joining us. And boy, a number of topics I'd like to tackle with you today. And I'd like to begin with something that comes out a little bit later on this week. Chris Hemsworth starring in a new Netflix film called Extraction. I've seen some of the previews. Looks intriguing. What kinds of things have you heard about Extraction?
Well, it certainly looks like a really fun action movie, and it's awesome that it's coming out on Netflix at a time when I think a lot of people are starved to just kind of watch something that's a lot of fun and fast-paced and, you know, just one of those fun action movies. Like you said, stars Chris Hemsworth. He plays a black market mercenary who is hired to rescue the kidnapped son of an international crime lord. And it looks like there's a kind of a double cross or something there in the trailer where he has to take everything on his own. A classic action movie trope. It was supposed to be one job, and it turns into something else. It looks like a lot of fun. I'm certainly going to watch it this weekend just to have some new, exciting entertainment. Chris Hemsworth has actually said that the stunts that he performed in it were the most intense of his career, and this is a guy who has so far made a career off of action movies, so that says a lot. I think it's going to be interesting to see. It's from the producers of the event. It's produced by the directors of the Avengers, Anthony and Joe Russo. So it certainly shares a lot of DNA with those, and will certainly be a lot of fun to watch, especially at a time when there aren't really any big tentpole releases for us to be excited about, as most studios have postponed them until theaters are back open. So kind of fun to have a big action movie that we can all watch at home.
Tracking when theaters will reopen. It's such a hard thing to gauge right now, although there are some rumors out there about maybe beginning of May they'll open back up again. But, you know, we'll get into box office banter at a different time when box office banter becomes at least a little bit more relevant. But I've got to ask you about something I read late last week. It's this all-in challenge where you have the opportunity to bid on a walk-on part in a film. Now, a lot of big stars are getting involved with this because there are several charitable tie-ins. So what is this all about for those that haven't heard, and who all is involved?
Well, it's a really cool fundraising effort that a lot of celebrities are supporting. It is helping out people facing food insecurity because of the pandemic. And so they're auctioning off all these celebrity experiences or memorabilia or that kind of thing. I know Meek Mill is giving away like a Rolls Royce, for instance, as opposed to, some of these other prizes. But it was started by actually the sports retailer Fanatics. Their founders got involved in creating this, but quickly got a lot of celebrities involved. All the money goes to organizations like Feeding America, Meals on Wheels, World Central Kitchen, and No Kid Hungry. And so far, they've already raised more than $7 million for such a really cool cause. So you can buy entries on their website if you look up the All-In Challenge. There's a ton of entries on there. But some of the big ones, like you mentioned, there are some walk-on movie parts, including Kevin Hart, who was an early kind of adopter of this. He has put up a walk-on role in one of his movies. For me anyways, I think the bigger one is Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro have put up a walk-on role in the new Scorsese film once that resumed filming. So some pretty cool opportunities if you want to support a good cause and kind of throw your hat in there to see if you can win a chance to get some of these experiences. I know Justin Bieber's involved. Russell Wilson and Ciara are giving away a double date. So there's a ton of really good things that you can bid on or put in your entries for, rather, to help out a good cause and hopefully win some pretty cool experiences and opportunities.
Yeah, definitely one of the better things happening right now. Michael, Tom Hardy is playing Al Capone in one of the more intriguing looking films that will be hitting, not theaters, but that will be releasing here in May. What are you hearing about that movie?
First of all, I think it looks pretty awesome. The trailer dropped like a week ago, I think. And it kind of set film Twitter on fire for a little bit. Really just looks like it's kind of an action-packed biography of Al Capone that comes. It follows the end of his life after he served an 11-year prison sentence and is now suffering from syphilis and dementia and haunted by his violent past. It comes from Josh Trank, who is at one point was kind of the next big thing in Hollywood after he made the movie Chronicle, and then kind of lost all of his goodwill after having a very open spat with the studio on making the awful Fantastic Four reboot from a few years ago. And then he was kicked off of a Star Wars sequel that he was working on. So he was kind of like the next big thing, kind of screwed up his chance, but still has a lot of potential and is coming back with a movie that truly looks like it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Kind of the same way Extraction is, where it just seems like a really fun, high-adrenaline movie that's going to come out at a time when we're all searching for that. And this one has a great cast. Linda Cardellini, Matt Dillon, and Kyle MacLachlan join Al Capone. So it's one that I'm excited for, and we'll certainly be looking forward to having a new release at this time.
What kinds of things do you think will really stand out about this film, simply because you're talking about Al Capone, and as you mentioned, this is supposed to detail the latter stages of his life, which weren't exactly all that glamorous. I think anytime people think about Al Capone, they think about all of the things he did before he was certainly put away. And I think it's fascinating because you're talking about the last part of a guy's life, and people probably look at that on the surface and think, well, how can that be interesting if he's just not doing the same kinds of things that he was when he was making all the headlines? But it sounds like this film, and especially the way Tom Hardy portrays him, makes this thing a must-watch.
Yeah, I think they really picked a very interesting point in his story. Like you said, we all know Al Capone the gangster. We don't really know Al Capone the syphilitic, demented, this guy who's dealing with dementia at the end of all his life and everything he's done, confronting that. And Tom Hardy picks these really strange roles all the time, or not so much strange roles, but he kind of makes them strange in his own way. And puts just so much character in them. Anyone who's watched him on the TV show Peaky Blinders knows that he just has this way of transforming into a character and really just making them so unique. And so I'm very interested to see his portrayal of a gangster that, you know, is as much of a real human being as he was a myth and a legend. So I think it's going to be really interesting to kind of cover this normally unseen side of his story.
The gangster movies are such an interesting genre to me. Do you think that this movie can rival some of the quick-hitting popularity that The Irishman was able to achieve when that released?
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see. I think one of the things hampering it in that department is that you will have to pay to watch this. Obviously, you pay for Netflix, but you know, if you're watching it already, it's included. So I think that there might be that kind of prohibiting it, but we'll see. It certainly lacks the prestige of certainly the actors and the director of The Irishman, but certainly at a time, kind of like we've talked about before with like Tiger King, maybe this will be a movie that, just because everyone's kind of locked up and having the same access to the same movies together, will kind of strike while the iron is hot and get into the cultural conversation. But I guess we'll have to see.
Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Michael, I've got to ask you about this next topic. Rocco's laughing because I think he enjoys it. He's certainly not alone. I had to turn Twitter off last night because I saw nonstop action with this doggone Michael Jordan documentary. Now, I know currently you reside in the Windy City, but having spoken to you many times before, I know that you are an Indiana Pacers fan, so your Reggie Miller-led team certainly had some trouble with the Jordan teams and the Bulls back in the 90s. As a lifelong Cavaliers fan, I hate Jordan. I've got no reason to like the guy because he ruined part of my childhood watching the Cavaliers. But this documentary, The Last Dance, I know that it has people talking. A couple of episodes dropped last night. What kinds of things about this documentary have people clamoring for more?
Well, like you said, obviously Michael Jordan is a huge draw. And he's sort of one of those figures where, you know, yeah, he ruined a lot of my childhood sports memories, for sure. That is 100%. And I know that there are going to be parts of this documentary that are going to drive me crazy. But at the same time, he still is kind of a mythic sports figure in a way that, you know, we almost don't have anymore. LeBron might be the closest approximation that we have to Michael Jordan. But watching this documentary last night, it's pretty incredible to remember that, like, he and the Bulls themselves at that time were total rock stars. They could travel the world and be mobbed by fans, and they sort of just existed on another plane. So it's kind of been fun as a sports fan and sort of having a vacuum of no sports to see this story played out again. I think these first two episodes that they premiered the last couple of nights were really just sort of setting the table, introducing where things stood at the time, between the players, between management, and their careers and where they all came into. So it was a lot of sort of setting up the story. It's obviously got 8 more hours to go. So I expect that we'll see a lot more sort of, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff as we keep going. We can promise to see Michael Jordan yelling at people and berating people. But so far, it really hasn't made him out to totally be a very good guy. I think a lot of basketball fans have known that for a long time, that he is, you know, a fierce competitor in everything he does, and therefore, you know, not necessarily always the greatest guy. But it's certainly an interesting documentary, and it really is kind of helping fill in the void where sports usually are for a lot of people. And it's honestly fun for me to kind of watch it and remember the NBA from that era, but also kind of have that bitterness and spite of watching Michael Jordan in it, for sure.
A buddy of mine, Zach Baker, who writes for the Advertiser Tribune, a little west of here, mentioned to me that he was thinking about watching it, but he said, you know, I'd rather get punched in the stomach 25 times instead, because we know all we're going to see are those highlights of Jordan lighting up the Cavs from yesteryear. But as you stated, look, I mean, Jordan is what he is at this point. And the documentary, I'm sure, will have its fascinating parts, and there's no way in the world he would have ever signed off on this thing if he was going to be shown in any kind of real negative light. But I think he kind of embraces the fact that people understand now that he was far from the nicest guy in the world, and I think the documentary has to show at least some of that.
I think so, and Ramona Shelburne from ESPN wrote a little piece over the weekend about kind of the documentary coming to light. And I mean, this thing was filmed obviously in real time during the 97-98 season. And part of the way that they were able to get permission to do this was that they gave Michael Jordan full veto control over it. So he could basically say, no, I don't want to release it. And he actually made the decision to finally change his mind and have this thing made the day of the Cavs 2016 parade. So he certainly was looking at it as like, hey, everyone's paying attention to LeBron's legacy. Now it's time to kind of reassess mine. And he says in the piece, you know, people are going to see that I'm a jerk. They're not going to come out of this with you know, a very good perception of me. And so it'll be interesting to see how that really plays out over the next couple weeks. I think that you know, he's still going to be a mythic figure. He's Michael Jordan. That's never going to change. But it certainly is interesting to see the curtain pulled back and see the person that he really is, as opposed to the person we always saw in ads and movies and on the court.
Well, 8 more episodes of that, so it gives some people something to look forward to. But for guys like you and me who had part of our childhood smashed by Jordan and all those big clutch shots that he hit over the years, something for us to avoid, I suppose. All right, Michael, let's wrap up with this week's Picks to Click. What should we be watching this week?
Well, a couple of great releases. First on Netflix tomorrow is Middlebitch and Schwartz. It is the comedy duo of Thomas Middlebitch and Ben Schwartz. They've been doing comedy together for years and years, and they're now basically turning their improv shows that they do on the road and in Los Angeles into a series of specials. They're all improvised with a small audience in there. So a really kind of a fun comedy show to watch starting tomorrow. And then on Saturday on HBO, there's a premiere of a new movie called Bad Education. It is about the true story of a Long Island school superintendent who was embezzling money and was uncovered. His whole scheme was uncovered by a student reporter leading him to devise a cover-up. It stars Hugh Jackman, Allison Janney, and Ray Romano, and got great reviews when it premiered last fall at the Toronto Film Festival. So a couple of good, exciting new releases to check out this week.
Yeah, a lot to look forward to there. That's a pretty impressive cast, no doubt about it. Michael, we always appreciate the time. We always appreciate the insight. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.